The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Solemn, difficult day in Israel, is it not, Rolien Marks?
A very, very solemn, a sad day, a difficult day. But I do have to tell you that as we have been commemorating, my neighbors behind me have two bouncy houses and about 50 little ones who have really? Been playing in utter joy. And I cannot think of anything that says we live, we are here, this is our revenge, and we will remember.
Absolutely beautiful, and it does. Those things take on such a different meaning today. I was saying a little earlier, there's a picture in one of the Hebrew newspapers of a lady in a bikini standing next to her towel commemorating the 2-minute silence, and I just thought the banality of the moment is the triumph of the moment, just that normal life continues.
And, you know, no matter how long I have been here, that siren, when that siren starts to wail, it gets you every time. And I think this year is definitely a lot more heavier, a lot more poignant, because we are observing on the back of a global pandemic. And even though our numbers are looking good, we've got news that we are down to just 28 in Bnei Brak. The IDF are now vacating the city. We have lost so many Holocaust survivors, not just to age this year, but also to the virus, to the pandemic, many to loneliness and the effects that it has on their mental health. And as President Rivlin said in his speech last night, and the Prime Minister Netanyahu as well, addressed the issues of observing Yom HaShoah in the background of the pandemic. A lovely story told by the Prime Minister of an Arab medic who helped a survivor who was terrified of the needle, of getting a vaccine, that he would be there with her, that everything would be okay. Just the enormity of the loss, even heavier this year.
Can you give us an inkling of what went on last night at the ceremony on at Yad Vashem?
A very moving ceremony and very... I don't know if heartwarming is the right word, but it's good to see that we were back to our normal ceremony of having people, unlike last year. And I think you and I had this conversation last year where we said we found the lack of people there maybe a little bit more poignant.
Yes.
But this year, you see, I remember everything.
No, that's incredible that you do. But it's true, and I can see it in my mind when you're talking about it. It's quite incredible, actually.
But this year, a little bit more reaffirming to see people there in their numbers, opening up with a speech from the president. This year's theme is, until the last Jew, the president even speaking about how Jews were hunted down, telling personal stories of survivors and talking about the incredible courage, but also the incredible loss that we've endured on the back of the coronavirus pandemic. The Prime Minister speaking, and his speech always takes on a more political tone. And I myself, and this again is not a criticism of the person, it's a criticism of the speech, I'm not a fan of these kind of very, very important memorials being used as a platform to talk about, you know, nuclear deals between the Americans and the Iranians. I thought that was the wrong called to strike, especially at this time. Also, the Prime Minister alluding to the ICC investigation and him saying that it doesn't matter even if our closest friends are wanting to do deals to appease the Iranians, we will defend ourselves. So a little bit of criticism for him for that. He also spoke about the vaccines. He also touched on Pfizer CEO Bourla's family history of experiencing and surviving the Holocaust and losing relatives to the Holocaust and how that has impacted on his work. But of course, the most touching and most important part of the whole ceremony are the testimonies from the survivors that light the masuot, the torches of remembrance, with a member of their family speaking about their experiences. Two survivors, which absolutely shattered me, had managed to rebuild their lives, have children, and lost children. to, you know, either illness or to motor car accidents, which, you know, really broke my heart because, you know, what more do they have to endure?
It's funny how you and I responded to the exact same thing that just finished me. The one woman, two boys, one girl, and she lost both boys. I mean, how much pain does one person have to endure in a lifetime?
Absolutely shattering, and still carries on as a nurse.
Remarkable. Ultimate survivors, yeah.
It's a lesson for all of us. You know, we've all had to endure a tremendous amount of hardship, but we can really take lessons from the resilience of our survivors and how they've gotten through the absolutely unimaginable. And then this morning, 10 o'clock, the entire country coming to an absolute standstill, as it does with that air raid siren as it rained out throughout the country. And of course, it's different to the ones that we talk about when we speak about rocket attacks. This is a never-ending drone, absolutely piercing the soul. And the day is spent really immersing ourselves in reflection, in education, in hearing the stories. I have spent my day listening to as many stories, watching as many webinars. I have to here give kavod to Howard 16 South Africa Jewish Report for their webinar last night on justice with the incredible Ephraim Zuroff, you know, chief Nazi hunter, and really bearing witness, which I think is the most important thing, because as time marches on and as we lose our survivors, the question is now being asked, how will we perpetuate memory? How will we educate the next generation? You know, when the survivors are no longer there to speak to us, you know, it is incumbent on people like you and myself and our listeners to carry on memorializing and to carry on teaching.
Rolene, in our lifetime, your and my lifetime, I don't think we could have imagined we would be dealing with the levels of anti-Semitism that we are dealing with today. And this pandemic, the fact that Albert Bourla is involved in Pfizer, the fact that there are other Israelis involved in medical research in some of the other vaccine companies, I mean, it's skyrocketed, hasn't it?
It has skyrocketed, and it's nothing new. Whenever there has been a major event in the world, Jews have been blamed, but we certainly have seen the rise in horrendous anti-Semitism, Jews being blamed for the start of the virus, for causing the virus, the horrendous new trend of Holocaust appropriation for people who might be against green passports or against the vaccine. One thing I do have to touch on, which I found very, very heartwarming, and again, as you and I talk about seeing unprecedented levels of anti-Semitism, we also could not have foreseen a year ago that in the United Arab Emirates, simultaneously in Bahrain, joined by Saudi Arabians and Egyptians, we have had the very first Holocaust commemoration ceremony.
Wow, that's incredible.
Absolutely unbelievable, heartwarming to see, and a tweet going out from the Emirati embassy in Israel, standing in solidarity with us today, talking about, you know, the spirit of remembrance and of brotherhood. And this is so important when we look around the world and we see the levels of anti-Semitism at unprecedented levels since before the Holocaust. And we have to be reminded, and we have to remind others, that the Shoah, the gas chambers, the death marches, the mass exterminations of Einsatzgruppen did not start in a vacuum. They started with words. And as long as we continue to teach and to memorialize, we also have to fight it. That is something that is absolutely paramount, that all of us become engaged in.
Let's move on to something different. Let's talk a bit of politics. Biden endorsing a two-state solution.
Now, before everybody goes, oh my God, we have to remember that it's not a departure from the previous administration. There's just a different tactic. But of great concern to Israel is the restoration of aid to UNRWA. You know, we understand that the Biden administration will be giving aid to the Palestinians. We are concerned as are American lawmakers, about pay for slay, what's going to happen. There we would like some clarification, but very, very concerned about money going to UNRWA. The ambassador of Israel to the UN and to the US, who's the same person, Gilad Erdan, he put out a press release warning the Biden administration of the dangers of financing an organization like UNRWA. I'm going to read to you from the press release. It says, Israel is strongly opposed to the anti-Israel and anti-Semitic activity happening in UNRWA's facilities. We believe that this UN agency for so-called refugees should not exist under its current format. UNRWA schools regularly use materials that incite against Israel, and the twisted definition used by the agency to determine who is a refugee only perpetuates the conflict.
That's saying it like it is. Rolene Marks, you took us perfectly to 5:30. Thank you for quite an emotional and fascinating Israel report this afternoon.
Yeah, my mascara is running everywhere, and it's not like I can go join the bouncy house because I think there is an age limit.
And I think high heels would probably pierce the jumping castle. But
this is true. They don't allow me near bouncy houses.
Thank you. I needed a laugh. We're going to leave it there, Rolene Marks. Thank you as always.
God bless.